We're holding the very top of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Bayis Nami, Afal Pisha Ein Gavoy Asarim. We saw yesterday a shayla about if a person is completely undressed from head to toe, if he's able to stick his head outside the window. What we were speaking about yesterday was sticking his head outside this kila, outside this canopy, the sheet canopy. And so now our Gemara tells us that if somebody has a house, if the house is a miniature house, less than 10 fachim, kivan de kvir, since the house is a permanent house, oyelahu, it's considered a tent by itself, de loigar mi kinaifis, because the house is not any worse off than kinaifis. Kinaifis is the four-post bed, and like we saw the halacha, that once it's considered a permanent place, so then it doesn't help to stick your head out, because by sticking your head out, it does make a difference, because your head follows the person's body. The body is in an area, he's completely undressed over there. So the head also, if he sticks his head out the window, didn't accomplish anything. Lishna Achrina, there are those that say this whole Gemara that we had till now, the last half of Ahmed, yesterday's daf, they have it in a different version. Amri lo, Amr Bihuda, Amr Shmuel, the way they say it is like this. Mutter lishon bekilos chasanim. It's permitted to sleep in a kilos chasanim besukkah. If somebody has a kilos chasanim in their sukkah, Rashi explains that this kilos chasanim was that when the person got married, there was a chas and a kala, they got married, then they would end up, they would give them this beautiful bed that had a canopy over it, but it only had two posts. So then the canopy went like this. It went like a tent shape. That's the way it looked. So says Shmuel that a person is permitted to sleep in such a kila during the Yom Tov of Sukkot, l'fisha ein lagag, because there is no roof. It just goes like this. And afa pisha gavay asar, and even if it's very high, if it's high more than 10, but since there's no roof, still we don't, there's no problem. We could consider it as if you're still underneath the sukkah. Kashma. Oh, come skip two lines. Mesid, Gemara Zakash, Hayoshim Bekila Basukkah. It says very clearly if somebody sleeps in a kila during the Yom Tov Sukkis, the Allah is Layotzdei Chavasai. So how could Shmuel tell me if you sleep in this kila chasanim that the canopy goes like this? You're okay. What do you mean? It says clearly in the Braisa that if you do such a thing, it's not considered as if you slept in the sukkah. Says, that's talking about where even though it was shaped like this, it went diagonal, but there was a tefach that went this way. So it went up, it curved up like this, and then there was a roof. And since there was that roof of a tefach, so then because of that, it's already considered its own place. And we can't consider as if you're underneath the schach, you're inconsiderate in that mokim, in that place. Toshma, come in here. Naklitin, shnayim. Naklitin is a two-post bed. The kinoifis are both. And a kinoifis is a four-post bed. Pierce al-gabi kinoifis, if a person put a sheet over the four-post bed, psula, and he sleeps in such a bed, it's possible he's not yetsa, that he does not consider as if he slept in a sukkah. Gabi naklitin. However, if he slept in a two-post bed, ksheira, then it'll be kosher. Ubuvad shelo yu naklitin gevoyin minamita asar tvachim. So it will be kosher so long as the tent doesn't go up more than 10 tvachim. Ha, says the Gemara, so we could be medayik, we could prove from here, ha gevayim minamita asara psula. It seems like that if it would be high, more than 10, it would be possible, afal pisha ein lagag, even if it doesn't have a roof, it just goes straight up diagonally, the two points hit each other like that, still it will be possible. Shmuel said that such a case will be kasher. Kilos chasanim goes like this. Shmuel says it's okay because there's no roof. Says the Gemara, Shani Naklitin de Kvi. When you're speaking about Naklitin, this two-post bed that the Bryce is speaking about, that's much more permanent. So you're right, that the Metzias, the way it looks is exactly the same. Achilles Chasanim goes like this, that's what Shmuel said is okay, even if it's high 10 Tvachim. Naklitin goes like this, it will be problematic, it will be possible if it's high 10 Tvachim. But the difference is that the Naklitin, two-post bed of Naklitin, is a permanent bed. Since it's a permanent bed, if you're underneath there, it will create problems. However, the Kilos Chasanim was just, they used to set it up for the Chasanim, the Chas and the Kala, a special bed that they would be able to, was a fancy bed. So because of that, that's not permanent, it's more of a makeshift bed, and we could consider you as if you're in the Sukkah, says the Gemara. Ikavi, if you're telling me that this Naklitin bed is considered permanent, Lehavi Kikinaifus. Let it be like the kinoifis bed. The kinoifis bed is the four-post bed. And we said that the kinoifis bed is permanent and therefore creates problems. So this naklit and the two-post, if it's permanent, it should also create problems. Says the Gemara, legabi kinoifis loikavi. It all depends what you're comparing it to. When you're comparing this two-post Naklitan bed, that's considered permanent if you're comparing it to the Kilos Chasanim bed. But if you're comparing it to the four-post Kinaifas bed, it's not considered permanent. I mean, it seems to be like there's different levels of permanent. We have that in ourselves. A person has a regular bedroom, a person has real beds, they're there, they're permanent. Then a person can have a high-rise. A high-rise is also quite permanent. But if you're comparing it to a real bed, it's not permanent. If you compare a high-riser to a cot, then a high-riser is much more permanent. So there's different levels. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the Kilos Chasanim, let's call it, will be similar to a cot. It's something that you close up all the time. Then we have this middle thing called the Naklitan bed, the two-post Naklitan bed, which is it's semi-permanent. And then we have the Kinaifas, the four-post bed. That's a complete bed. If you're in there, that's already, you'll create problems as if you're not in the sukkah. Dorish Rabba Barav Huna, Mutar Lishon Bekila, Afalpishi Yesh Lagag, says Rabba Barav Huna, it's permitted to sleep in this Kila bed. Again, the Kila bed goes like this, diagonal. Afalpishi Yesh Lagag, he says, even if it doesn't go all the way, if there is a roof at the top, there's a tefach going this way at the top, and then the two diagonal parts go up like this, and there's a tefach going this way, it will be okay. And even if it's high 10, he's arguing Shmuel. Shmuel said that if there's a gag, if there's a roof tefach, it will create a problem. He says no problem at all. Afal pi shagoy asar, keman ker Yehuda. He holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar, Rabbi Yehuda holds loy osi oil arai umavatal oil keva. There's a concept called a permanent overhang, and there's something called a temporary overhang. So if a person, every roof is considered an oil keva, it's permanent. The roof is permanent, yeah, great. Now, if you have an oil ara, if you would put up some type of tent, say in this room, so it's only a temporary tent, you're not going to leave it like that. So could we go ahead and say that because I'm within this tent, so I'm underneath the tent, and I completely am not connected anymore to what's going on top, I have to disregard what's going up on top of me. Rabbi Huda says that an oil aray, a temporary tent, cannot knock away an oil kva, a permanent tent. If you have that overhang, which is permanent, if you're underneath that permanent overhang, it doesn't make a difference if you're also underneath that temporary overhang. You're underneath that permanent one. That's the way he looks at it. Loi osi oil aray, a temporary tent, cannot come and be mevatel, knock away a permanent tent. That's the shita of Rabbi Huda. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanakh, we learned in the Mishnah, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Noyigim Hayinu Lishen Tacha Samita Bifnei Zakenim. They were sitting in the sukkah, and it was the sukkah of the Zakenim, the elders of Klal Yisrael, Tamidim Chacham of Klal Yisrael. Seems like there wasn't so much room. They wanted to use these Tamidim, the students wanted to sleep in the sukkah with the Tamidim Chacham, so they slept underneath the bed. And they didn't say, the Zakenim didn't say anything. They let them sleep underneath the bed. What's pshat? Because the pshat is a bed in a sukkah, that bed is considered oil aray. It's temporary. You're going to move it back and forth. You're not going to keep it there. So, lay oil aray to mevata what you have, that oil kva. Says the Gemara. So why did Rabbi Baruch Huna say it's permitted to sleep in a kila? Let's just say clearly, I passed like Rabbi Huda. Why do you have to say a case and then bring Rabbi Huda? Just say, I hold halach l'mais like Rabbi Huda. Lay malach like Rabbi Huda. And for the Gemara, he omer halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. If we would say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, hava mina hani mili mita del gabasu. I would say that perhaps it's only permitted to sleep underneath a bed. That's because a bed is made for the top of the bed. People sleep on top of the bed. So therefore, we don't consider it oil. It's not made to protect underneath. It's made just to lay on top, sit on top, do whatever you want on top. It's not made to be an overhang for underneath. But a kilo, when you have this canopy, that it's made to be an overhang to protect underneath, you would think that Rabbi Huda never said such a halach over there. The whole sheet of Rabbi Huda perhaps could have been that loy osi oil aray umavatal kva, oil kva, perhaps that's only said in a place where the oil that you have was not made to be an oil, was made just to be a bed. Oil is something there to protect underneath. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said you could sleep underneath a bed, it wouldn't be such a proof that an oil aray can't be mevatel an oil kva. Because maybe only a bed where it's not made to be an overhang, it's just made to lay on top. Maybe such a case you're able to sleep underneath because we won't consider that an oil. Oil is something which is there to protect underneath. If it's not there to protect underneath, you wouldn't have that. Kamash Malon, that's what I'm telling you. The reason of Rabbi Yehuda, time of Rabbi Yehuda, loy osi oil aria mavatal oil kva loishna mitav loishna kilo. Therefore, I came along and said, I pask in the case that if you have a kilo, when it goes like this, it's mutter. And the reason behind the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that he said you're able to sleep underneath a bed is not because he doesn't consider the bed an oil. No, he does consider the bed an oil. The reason why it's mutter is because loy osi oil aria umavatal kva. You would not have known that without the drasha of Rabba Bar Avuna. Tov? Well, exactly like a Mishnah. Hidla al... That's okay, go on.
The question was, if you have a four-post bed with a canopy,
yeah,
but your intention is that it's just ornamental, strictly ornamental.
Uh-huh.
You know, in other words, what would be the issue with that? When we said, we had said that if it's ornamental,
right,
in another case, that was not a problem. It's right, really if it's a form of
right,
protection.
Right, right. It seems like that, I don't know, we have to look it up in the Pesukim, but it seems like that is the definition of a four-post bed, is that it's there for protection. You might not have it for that, you might like the look, but that's what it is.
I see.
Whereas when you hang up sheets, it could be one of two things. It's not defined what it is. That's what it is. You can't say, like the same thing like we're saying right now, like the bed. The bed is made for on top. Let's say you made it for the bottom. There's something that it's defined. The bed is defined a certain way. A bed is made for the top. The fact that you're making it for something else, I don't know if you're.
Some people might have it. It's fancy.
Right, right,
you know, that's
right.
Why they have it. It's fancy.
Right. Okay. You're saying because the likelihood is that, especially in our context, nothing's falling from the top,
yeah.
Right? Nobody has it because
right.
Okay, if there was some vines, if there was some vines of grapevines, vesadalas, vesakisos, different vines, I'm sure they have, I'm not sure exactly, the last I believe is, what's the last, squash? What is that?
Gourd,
okay, and akisos?
Ivy.
Ivy, okay, shkech. So if we have, all these things have vines, vesikech al gaba, and you lifted the vines up, if this is your sukkah, so you lifted the vines up to be over the sukkah, and then you put more schach upon up on top of that, on top of those vines. Psula, the halacha is as possible. From hayasika harba mehem. However, if the kosher schach was the majority of it, like we had before, oishakotzitzon, or if you snipped those vines, you put the vines when they're still attached over the sukkah, then you snip the vines, you cut them, or be ksheira. Zeh klal, the Gemara is going to get into what the issue over there is. Zeh klal, kol shu mekabel tuma, anything. The rule is that anything which is susceptible to tuma, if it ain't gedulei min ha'aretz, and it's not grown from the ground, for example, the leather that comes from the hides of animals, they cannot be used for schach. The kaldavish ain mekabel tuma, anything which is not susceptible to tuma, the gedulei min ha'aretz, and it does grow from the ground. Mesachin gavay, that's like our regular schach. It grows, right? You take evergreen, you take bamboo, it grows from the ground. So that's gedulei min ha'aretz, and it's also not mekabel tuma. So those things don't accept tuma. So the loch is it could be used for schach. Says the gemara, Yosef Rabbi Yosef Kamei Ravuna, Yosef Kamar, Oy shekot son ksheira. Our Mishnah says, they quoted the Mishnah that if you put the grapevines over the schach, over the sukkah, and then you cut it, it will be kosher. And they added V'amar Rav, that they said in the name of Rav. This is Rabbi Yosef saying that Rav said, Sarech l'nanea, even though you put the vines over the schach and you cut it, you still need to make sure to move the schach, lift it up a little bit, and then put it back down. And the fact that you just cut it will not be enough. You have to do something. Amrle Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said to Rabbi Yosef, Ha Shmuel Amra. You tell me Rav said it? Shmuel said it. So Adrin Rabbi Yosef Lape. So Rabbi Yosef turned around. Va'amrle, Otu Mika Mina Lacha Deloy Amra Shmuel? Did I say that Shmuel didn't say it? Amra Rav, Va'amra Shmuel. Rav said it, and Shmuel said it. I said the name of Rav. You're right, Shmuel also said it. Amrle Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said back, Hachi kamin olcha. This is what I meant to say to you. The Shmuel Amra, Shmuel's the only one that said that you need to lift up the sach again. V'loy Rav. Rav holds, so long as you just snip the vines, you cut it, it's good to go. Oh, how do I know that? The Rav, achshuri machshir. Rav will hold, just by cutting it, it will be kosher. Ki hadar of Amram chassid, a very interesting gemara over here, that of Amram, the chassid, he what he did was like this. Rama tcheilosa leperzuma de anshe beso. So he was placing trellis, he was placing tzitzis into the four corners of his wife's garment. And Rashi and Tosfos over here speaking about, are women obligated in tzitzis or not? Rashi says that that Rav Amram Chasida held that women are obligated in tzitzit, the whole sugya Masechta Menachos. So Rav Amram Chasida held he had to put tzitzit into his wife's clothing. Doesn't make a difference that happens to be his wife. It could have been him. It would have been the same Shiloh. Just that's what the Gemara has. That's the case that happened. That was the Maisa that happened. And what he did was, is Tolon, he had, so the way the person, the way you have, the way you make tzitzis is you have four strings, four big ones, and then you put them through the hole, and then you end up with eight, right? Then it doubles over. So what he did was like this. He took one long, very, very long string. He doubled it over. So then he already has two strings. Then he doubled over again. He kept them. That's what he did. So he put them all through like that. And he even tied, he made the knots that it sits this. And so it comes out, they looked like tzitzis, but they were still all attached. So he did was, at the end, he just cut. He cut, made one snip, boom, there you go. It's much easier. You don't have to busy with so many different strings. Deal with one string, it's okay. That's what he did. So Ram, again, so Kihadr of Amr Chasida, Ramat Chilasa Leperzuma Da Anshe Besa. He placed the trelas of his for his wife's baguette inside. Tolon, he hung them over. But he didn't cut the heads of them. Also, so he came to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. This is what Rav said. Just cut them, will be kosher. So what's pshat? So now, before we just see what the Gemara says, there's a concept called Tasa V'loy Mina Asli. And this means like this, that whenever the Torah tells me that you have to do something, you have to make something. For example, the Torah says, make tzitzis. V'asu lahem tzitzis. V'asu, go ahead and make the tzitzis. So the halacha is that it has to be made in a kosher way. And if it was made in a non-kosher way, and you're just doing something on the side to make it kosher, so does that work, yes or no? For example, let's just speak about our case, so we go straight to the point. That our case like this, he did the putting in the tzitzis. He tied, he made the knots of the tzitzis. So he did the asiyah of tzitzis. He made tzitzis. And yet, it wasn't kosher at that time. How's he making kosher? One snip. So he's not making a kosher with the asiyah. Pardon? Right. He started off with non-kosher. He did the whole asiyah in a non-kosher way. And he's just having one snip. Does that work? Yes or no? So you would have said it doesn't work because tasa, it has to, you have to make the mitzvah, you have to create the mitzvah. But loy mina asli, not something that the mitzvah is already made in a non-kosher way and you're just by one doing something on the side, indirectly making a kosher. So you would have said that that's good. So now he came along and he came to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. He asked the Shaila. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav that by cutting it, the mitzakasan, the cutting it, the hank sheirun. Why? Alma psikasan zuhi yasi yasa. Rav said, I agree to the concept of tasa v'loy mina asa. You have to make it in the kosher way. However, I could consider that snip as part of making it. And therefore, it's not just that I finished making it and now indirectly something's becoming kosher. I could consider that snip as part of making tzitzis, and because of that, it will make the whole thing, I'm still doing it, I'm still involved in my making, in my asiyah, in my maisa. So when will Rav say it? We'll have to see exactly. We have the next few blocks are going to be speaking about, I mean, this stuff mainly, then we're going to come back to it later. So the Gemara is going to get on. Shmuel argues. Shmuel says, no, that's not going to work. That's not called, that you do have a problem. Just that one snip is not going to work.
It's the same as if you take a cow, you eat shita, and it's perfect.
Yeah. Right. So, right. Okay. So, we'll see. Mitzvah Shem, we'll try to see if we can get a little bit more clear in what it is. But so over here, he's able to see that as part of making the tzitzis. We'll come back to our case. So, hachanami, tzitzasan zuyasiyasan. What's our case? You place the schach upon the sukkah. Now that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and do a maisa putting schach upon it. So you put it in a way where the schach was possible because it was still attached to the vine, right? It was still mechubar lekarka, connected to the ground. There's a problem. Then you go, take your scissor, snip. So according to Rav, that says that snip by tzitzis is considered a maisa, so seemingly he would hold like that also by the sukkah. Just go ahead, take your scissor, cut the vine, and you're okay. Even though that when you place the vine over the sukkah, it was possible. Right.
So you're not placing it. You know, that's what the baby's saying. In other words, once I have something that's kosher, then I have to actually do the mitzvah of placing it. Is that a distinction as opposed to snipping the tzitzis? I mean, are you saying that I have to tie the mitzvah is to tie the tzitzis?
Right, the
have the tzitzis.
Right, the mitzvah. Yeah, but the way you have to have it is to tie.
With a valid material.
Exactly. Yeah.
So here
exactly.
I don't have valid material.
Right.
So you think it's attached to the ground?
Right. Exactly. Right.
Valid
exactly. Yeah. That's what's going on. Shmuel holds. Are you telling me that Shmuel is going to argue and Shmuel is going to say just by cutting that's not considered an asi, it's not considered a creation, a doing? So we said like this. We said in the name of Shmuel said in the name of Rav Chiya, Hitel Shnei Kronos Bevas Achas. Over here, he had this person had enough strings. He had the four strings. But instead of doing each corner on its own, the way we normally do it, but each four corners of your, when you're trying to put tzitzis on, you do each corner on its own. What he did was that he placed, there were very long strings, he put them through two corners. And he does everything he's supposed to do. And the Gemara right now understands that he put everything in, and he even tied the knots. The Gemara understands, and then what he did was, he snipped it. So that means what happened was that he put the strings in, and everything seemed to be puzzle, and then he just snipped it. So now he has one for each corner. He has tzitzis for each corner. So my love, are we not talking about shekosher v'acharkach poisik? Are we not talking about that he first tied all the knots and then he cut? And you see that Shmuel also holds that cutting is considered a maisa. It's considered that making a kosher. So Zimmer, no, it's not true. Shmuel argues, loy shepoisik v'acharkach kosher. What he did was that he put them through, he snipped them, and then after that, he tied them all up. And since he made the knot afterwards, so that's not a problem, because since at the time of when he was making the knot, at that time everything was kosher, so then it's okay, because that's when, by the time you're doing the kshira, the tying, the knot, the making the knot, it's done properly, then you're good to go. If you went ahead and you snipped it, and then you tied it, then you tied up the knots, and for sure it's going to be good. What's the chiddush? Mao the tema kanof b'shas psil v'lek. You would think at the time of when you put them through the hole, you have to make sure that they're kosher. It has to be done the kosher way, and that you don't have over here, because when you put them through, you put them through two corners. You would think it doesn't work. Kamash malon, that it does work. That even though that you, when you put them through the holes, you put them through the two holes together, you would think that it should work. Kamash malon. So you would think that in this case it shouldn't work, because at the time when you put it through, you didn't have enough strings. Kamash malon, that so long as when you did the kshira, when you did the tying the knot, it was okay. So then there's no problem. Shmuel has no problem. The kids are ma'isa. Either way, right now the Gemara is coming out of Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. With that one snip, is that considered a doing? Yes or no? Rav says I can consider that snip as a doing, and therefore I have a doing at the time when it's kosher. So it's not a problem of tasav leim and asui. It's already. I'm doing it. And Shmuel says that snip doesn't help. If you snip it before, you have to do the ma'isa. For example, by making the knot at tzitzis, if you do the snip between the strings, and then after that you tie the knots, then it's okay. Meister, fakti gemar kasha. Talon b'lay pasik, roshe chutin shalahem psuun. It says very clearly, if you put the tzitzis in, and you did not cut them until later, it says, pasul. They're going to be pasul. That's it. They're gone. My love, psuun l'aylam. Does it not mean that they're pasul forever? That there's no way to do anything to help the situation? But you have to the rab. That's a bomb kasha and rab, because rab says, all you need to do is take a scissor and cut it. This verse seems to be saying, it's pasul l'aylam. What do you mean? Why is it pasul l'aylam? All you need to do is take a scissor and cut. Amulacha Rav, Rav is back. My psulim, this that the Brisa says that it's puzzle, you know what it means? It means psulim achi yirsukho. Means it's puzzle until you snip it, but once you snip it, you're okay. Shmuel amar psulim la'ilim. Shmuel says in such a case, we puzzle la'ilim unless you undo the entire thing. Bechein amar Levi, and this is what Levi said also, psulim la'ilim is going to be puzzle forever. Bechein amar Rav Masna, amar Shmuel, psulim la'ilim is going to be puzzle forever. Ikadami, those that say, amar Rav Masna, v'didi havi uvda. This story happened with me, v'asayla kameda mar Shmuel, and I came in front of the Rebbe Shmuel, Va'amrali, and Shmuel said, Psul la'ilam. And he said, that's going to be possible forever. Mesa, effecting Markasha, Talon, Bachakach, Pasak, Rashi, Futin, Shalahem, Psulim. If you hung them through, and then you even tied them, and then after that you snipped them, it says in the Baisa, it's possible. So, first of all, right there, it seems not like Rab. So over here, this time up by tzitzis. By tzitzis, if you cut, if the Gemara, the Brisa says, if you put them through and then you cut it, it will be a pasul. So the Gemara seemed like, that's our question. Do you need to go ahead and do that? Right? According to everybody, if you go ahead and you lift the schach, it will be kosher. What? So, because the reason by lifting up the schach, by moving the schach, because you're redoing the entire thing. Right, so you're right. If you would take the tzitzis out and then put it back in, then it'll be kosher. But oy tanya, also we learned in Abayi Sukkah, it says by halacha of sukkah, tasa, you have to go ahead and make the sukkah. But loy mina also, the camp is already made, and we can't omru, and the Abayi Sukkah says that we were able to learn from here. Hidol esagef, and if you lifted up the grapevines, the esadalas, and the gourd vines, the esakisus, and what was kisus again? Kisus means the ivy, right? There we go. Vesakisus and the ivy vines. Vesike chagabon, and then you put schach over it. Psula. It says it's possible. Sehechidam. What's the case? What are we talking about? Ilay mishaloi katsusan. If you didn't snip them and they're still attached to the ground, the vines are still attached to the ground. My irya mishum tasav leimen asli. Why does the Bryson say it's going to be possible? Because tasav leimen asli, you have to make it in a kosher way. Tepeklei the mukubarim nenu. The reason why it's possible is because it's still attached to the ground. Ella must be bishakatsa, must be already cut it from the ground. Uktani psula, and yet it says very clearly it's going to be possible. Ushmami no deloyamina tzitzasan zuyasiasan. We can prove from this brisa that by cutting it, it's not considered making it. Because it says, the brisa is talking about a case when you had the vineyard, you had the vines over the schach, and seemingly you're talking about where you cut it, and yet it says possible. According to Rav, it should be kosher, because snipping it is considered that maisa. So there's no problem with the fact that it was already made, because I'm still doing it right now. I'm making it right now. But to Yufta the Rav, so it's a bam kasha and Rav. Amlucha Rav. Rav says back, an interesting Gemara here. Hachta ma'eskinon, dishalfinu shalufi, d'loy minkira asiya d'tu. The way I understand the Gemara, maybe it could be helped out a little bit over here. The way I understand is that when you have these vines, so there's two ways how to cut the vine. Either you could go ahead and take a knife, a scissor, and cut it. You could go ahead and do such a thing. Or what you could do is you could twist the vines until finally you go back and forth. You're trying to get a branch off a tree, back and forth, until it comes off. Now, if you do it that way, you don't take a knife, so then if that branch is right next to the tree, there's still a way how to see that it's still somehow connected to the tree. That's what it seems like from the Gemara. You can't recognize that it was detached from the tree. So the Gemara over here says that when you try pulling the vine, so even if you got the vine detached, since it still looks a little bit connected to the vine, so they made a gzeira that there's a problem that you can't do such a thing. So even though we're talking about that you did cut it, but the way you cut it wasn't with scissors, it was by branching it off. Did they say different than me? That's the way they said it. This way, the Shulchanu.
It sounds like a Maris Ayin issue.
Yeah, it's only a problem.
Like somebody, well, actually, they're going to learn. Yeah, they're going to learn from this. So, Marasai, that's what it sounds like.
Right, it seems like Minkira. It's like not recognizable.
So
you can't.
People are going to think that it's kosher if it's Mechubar stuff.
Right, and it's very interesting because the Braisa seems to be saying that it's going to look, there'll be a problem of Tassav Leimana Asli. The Braisa says Tassav Leimana Asli, Mikan Amru, that you'll have a problem with the vineyard.
And that's without no Menanea.
Right. Right, well, yeah, because once you do nanua, that's what we were speaking before, that once you do nanua, so then you're redoing the entire thing, then there's no problem.
So they're not asking for nanua.
Right.
Nanua, just cutting it, and we're done.
Right, right.
But the reason was, it was really because it's kosher, but it's puzzle, it's no good.
Because there's still...
There's chachamim, because it's
the Maris Ayin. So the Braisa says the problem was el tasav leminosis. The Tosis speaks about it. Tosis, the second Tosis on the Omid speaks about it. But we're going to go back to that. I want to finish the daf today. Oh. Pardon? So, it seems like there are two cases. It could be even when it's the majority of the schach. Even that.
Well, you have to learn majority, because if it's a minority, it's irrelevant.
Right. Right. So we're talking about where it's the majority. Yeah.
I don't know if this is where we are. I think it is. He said where Rob said when
oh, very good, yeah.
The vines off the tree by hand, and they're still resting against the tree.
Oh, okay, very good. So it means you pulled them off, and they're still like that. So it seems like when you cut it with a scissor, it falls off completely. Somehow it's like, you know.
The way you do the drafting, that's one of the problems.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Okay, there you go. Very good. Gvaldik. Oh, so the Gemara, fine. So we took care of that part. But mikol mokim talam v'chakach pasa kasha. We asked two questions around. The first kasha from Rav was in the case of tzitzis that says very clearly that if you put them through and then you cut it, it will be possible. And it seems like it's going to be possible forever. Says the Gemara, you're right, kasha. It is going to be a kasha. Let me ketanei. Seemingly, this is a machlekes tanan. Interesting halacha that we're dealing with the halacha of a hadas. A hadas on the yomtiv of Sukkot, when we have, you need to have a lulav, a rabbis, and hadasim. And the Mishnah later on tells us on the Aflamet Beis and Beis that if there are more berries on your hadas than the leaves, that the majority of this hadasim, of this hadas that you have, is the majority is berries, so it's a problem. It's menumer, it's not hadar, it's not considered beautiful, you can't use such a thing. By the time we get it, we don't see any berries. But if you take it, when you cut it, you could see berries, and or maybe different types of hadasim of different things. But either way, it says that if, let's say, you went ahead, you put your hadasim together with your lulav and your aravis, but these hadasim had more berries than the leaves. The majority was berries. So over velikdam, so you decided now to go pull the berries off. Go pull all the berries off to make your hadas more, make it beautiful. So it says that pasul. Divrei Reb Shimon ben Bar Yitzadik. Reb Shimon says that such a case will be pasul. V'chachomim machshim, chacham say, so long as you pulled all the berries off, it's going to be kashim. So what's machlekes? So savrua, they held the kuli alma lulav tsarech eged. So now, there's an issue that is a person obligated to put all obligated to put the lulav together with the hadasim and aravis? Does he have to tie it together? We always tie everything together. We put them in those called koshiklach, in those holders, and everything is all connected together. It's all attached together. Some say it's even supposed to be tied up with a double knot. Either way, we tie it together. And so, and some shittas hold you need to do that, and if you didn't do that, you know, some shittas say, no problem. If you did each one on its own, you held the lulav, you held your lulav here, you had asked them here, it doesn't make a difference, they're not together, we'll be kasha, it's a sugi later on, we're not going to get there, right now, at least. So it says, the kuli alma lulav tzarech eged. Everybody holds that you need to create a lulav. If you hold lulav tzarech eged, you need to be ma'aged it, you need to make it into an agudo, make it into a bundle, so then you need to make the lulav, right? You have to go ahead and do a maisa to create the lulav, not enough just to take a palm branch, a lulav. If you just need to take a lulav by itself, there would be no maisa that you need to do. But if you hold tzarech eged, that you need to tie the hadasim, haravis, and lulav together, then you need to create the lulav. You're like creating a lulav into not just being a regular lulav, it's a lulav, hadasim, and haravis as one. The alfinan lulav misukah, and also we learn out the lulav from the halachas of sukkah, the chsiv gabei sukkah. We know that by sukkah there's halach of tasav loy mina asli, that there's a problem that you have to create it bekashrus, in a kosher way. Not that it was created and then by indirectly making it kosher. You have to, at the time of the making, it has to be kosher. My love, are we not talking about Ba'akamufki? That they're arguing like this. The man de machsher saver amrino gabei sukkah, tzitzasim zuyasiyasan, the one that says that if you go ahead and you put all your, you put your lulav together, and there's more berries than hadasim, and then you go take all the berries off, it will be kosher, because he holds it the same way by sukkah. All you need to do is take a snip, it will be kosher, that will be considered a maisa. The gabi lulav nami. So too, when we're dealing with lulav by the hadasim, amrina, we'll say, likitasan zuyasiyasan. Taking off the berries, it could be considered a maisa. And therefore, even though that when I made my lulav was made pasul because I made it with lulav, hadasim, and aravis, and on the hadasim there was majority of berries, so at the time when I made that bundle was pasul, but once I go ahead and I pick off all those berries, that could be considered my maisa, and it will be good. Uman the pasul, and the man the omer that says it will be pasul, sover, he holds loy aminu gabik sukkah ksisasin zuyasiyasin. He holds that the same way by sukkah, we don't say just snipping the vineyard, just snipping the vines, is considered a maisa of a gabik lulav nami, loy aminu likitasin zuyasiyasin. So too, when it comes to the lulav, and you created your lulav, hadasim and aravis, into one bundle, and at that time it was pasul, it doesn't help just to go ahead and take the berries off now, since at the time of creating that Cheftza of a lulav was possible. Says Marno, loy the kuli amu loy amrina gabi sukkah tzitzasin zuyasiyasin. Everybody deals with that. Everybody holds over here that by sukkah it's pashat that you can't just go and snip; it won't work. But that's by sukkah. V'hacha b'meilav lulav misukkah kamufgi. Over here, the machlekes is: do we learn out from sukkah to teach me halacha to the halacha of lulav? Man the machshir savar, the one that says it will be kasha, he holds loy alfinan lulav misukkah. Just because that by sukkah you'll have a problem, mam de pasul savi alfinan lulav misukkah. The same, right? When you deal with, if you go ahead and you lift the vines over, everybody will hold by sukkah, it won't work. if you just snip it. Just by snipping it won't work. The question is, do you learn out lulav from sukkah? Do they have the same halacha? Meaning to say, it seems like from the Gemara, let me just double check. Remember the Rashi Klor. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. That do we learn out that the same way by sukkah there's a problem of tasav loy mina osli, that you have to make it in a kosher fashion? So too, do you learn out to lulav, that lulav has that? Yes or no? So that's the machlokes. Everybody holds, when you're dealing with sukkah, everybody holds that it will be, that just snipping it won't help. It has to be placed in a kosher way. But the question is, do we learn out lulav from sukkah? Yes or no? B'ibay seima, and there are those that say a different terrors. Ismi along the lulav tzarech eged, if you hold that you need to create a bundle of lulav, it has to be a bundle, lulav, aravis, and adasim, you have to create it into that lulav. If you hold you need to do that, then kuli amaloi pligi the alpina and lulav misukkah. Then everybody will hold that you will learn out from sukkah. The same way sukkah has a halach of tasa v'loy mina asli, so to lulav will have a halach of tasa v'loy mina asli. But, pardon? You could do that, but that's like, again, that's redoing it. The question is, if you don't want to do that. And over here, the machlok is like this. One man says that you have to create a lulav, you have to turn it into a bundle. And there's a means that there is a maisa. You have to take hadasim, arabis, and a lulav and create it into one. There's a maisa of creating a lulav. And the other sheet holds, ain't tzarech eged, that there's no halacha that you have to create into a bundle. And since there's no halacha of creating into a bundle, so there can't be any issue of tzarech, of tasav leiman asi. The whole issue of tasav leiman asi is only when you have to do a maisa, when you have to create. If you would have to create a lulav, then you would have a problem with tasav leiman asi. Over here, there's no, if you hold ain't tzarech eged, you don't have to go ahead and create anything. Upluto dani tanoi, and they're arguing the following machlokes tanam. The tanya, we learned in a braisa, lulav, when you have a lulav, bein ogud, whether it's bundled up together with adasim and aravis, bein she'ein ogud, whether it's not bundled up, kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ogud, kosher, it's only going to be kosher if you bundled it up, she'ein ogud, pasul. If you did not bundle up, it will be pasul. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Yalof lekicha, lekicha, me'agudas ezev. He learns out lekicha, by when it comes to the arba minim, it says they have to take lekachtam lechem b'yem rishon. You have to take a lulav, and it also says you have to take the agudas ezev. Agudas ezev is what they use to spritz on the mitzvah. They would mix together. They would take it. They would dip this branch into the blood, and they would spritz it. Or by the paraduma, also you'd have to put it into the mayim, the efer paraduma. So it says over there, k'siv hasam lekachtem agudas ezev. It says over there they have to take the bundle of ezev. K'siv hachan. It says by us lekachtem lechem b'yem rishon, and it says by lulav they have to go ahead and take on the first day. Malalam b'agudas. Same over there. It has to be by within a bundle by the ezev. Agudas ezev has to be with a bundle. Avkan nami b'aguda. It also has to be done with an aguda. Rabbanon. The rabbanon say no. Lekicha milki. That we don't learn out. Kaman also hold the Tanya. Who's it going like this? So we learned in a brisa. Lulav mitzvah la'egda. There's a mitzvah to make a bundle. The ilay ogda. If you didn't bundle it, kasha. Irab Yehuda. If it's going according to Yehuda, kilay ogda. Am I kasha? If you didn't bundle it, why will it be kasha? Yehuda says you need to bundle it. Irabanan. If it's going according to Rabbanan, am I mitzvah? Where in the world, why is there mitzvah? There is no mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Lo'olam Rabbanon, going according to Rabbanon, Umishum Shenema, Zekele Banveyu, Hisna Lefanu B'mitzvah. So even though that Rabbanon hold, that if you're looking at the halacha of lula by itself, you don't have to bundle it up. Because we don't learn out the same way by Ezev, it was a bundle, then lulav needs a bundle. No, lulav does need a bundle, but there's a different reason why you should make it into a bundle. That's how Zekeli Vamveyu. It should be beautiful. It's more beautiful when you have the lulav together with the Adasim and Aravis. Even though, if you want to look at what a lulav stands on its own. You don't need to create it into one big keftza. But there's still an inyan of Zekeli Vamveyu, but since that's not in the lulav itself, it's just the outer halacha of Zekeli Vamveyu, therefore we don't have that halacha. You have another minute here?
You have 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, Gabalda. Zeh klal. That's all I need. Zeh klal. Kol davish mekabel tuma. Minani mili amr shlakish amr kro. How do we know that the schach has to be something that is not susceptible to tuma? Amr kro ve'ed yalam in oretz. That the mist, the clouds come up from the ground. Ma ed. The same with the mist that comes out from the ground is not susceptible to tuma v'gdulim in aretz, and it comes out of the ground, like it says v'eid yalim in aretz. Av sukkah, so to sukkah, when you're dealing with the schach of the sukkah, has to be a davar she'en mekabel tuma v'gdulim in aretz, and it has to be grown from the ground. If you tell me that the sukkah has to resemble the nani akavid, the clouds of glory, then you're right, we can learn out from that pasuk. El amandam sukkas mamish. But if you say that when Klai Yisrael went out and they were in the midrash, they had literal sukkas, also that sukkas mamish also Hashem made for them real sukkas, ma'ikal meimar. Why in the world would you need to have that? The Tanya, we learned in a braisa, kiva sukkas eshaftis bnei Yisrael, anani akavad hayu. One sheet holds anani akavad, divir blazer, kiva imer sukkas mamish also lehem. Okay, stop here.